Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football, men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles. Please be joined again, as always, every Wednesday night throughout football season with Gary Dolphin, play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz. Gary, how's it going this week?
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, Brendan. It's going good. It's been a couple of disappointing close losses. Last year, the Hawks were winning these kinds of games, although to lose back-to-back seasons to Ohio State by 3 points each is really difficult to take. But what it tells you is they're competing. There's no give up in this team. And I think with 26 seniors, all that experience, that frustration in these 26 seniors hopefully will boil over at TCF Bank this Saturday.
You touched on the narrow defeat last weekend to Ohio State. And once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, obviously, but you had the same kind of situation unfolding there at the end, the defense giving up a late touchdown, the offense, you know, getting an opportunity but not being able to execute. The players after the game are kind of talking about how they felt that the effort was there. It just didn't work out for whatever reason. Is that kind of what you noticed, too, from watching the game, that, you know, the effort was there but they just weren't able to execute?
I think the effort was there. I mean, they went from, 2 for 14 on third down at Northwestern to about 42% Saturday. And at least in my opinion, this was the fastest, surest tackling defense that I saw all year. What a shock. It's Ohio State, and they've got athletes every year. But Ed Podolak even mentioned a couple times what a sure tackling in open space this defense was. So it's tough to get yards. And so the offense moved the ball, but say for a penalty here or a breakdown there. But when you score 17 points at home, I don't care who you're playing, you have such a small margin for error. And the Hawkeye defense had some breakdowns in that fourth quarter. The offense had some breakdowns. Ricky took a key sack. The running game was very limited again because of Adam Robinson's absence, although Coker had, I think, a wonderful game considering the defense he was running against, but not enough consistency there. And special teams had a couple boo-boos on kick coverage and kicking the ball out of bounds. And so Ryan Dunahue was outstanding, by the way. There's enough blame, again, for all three phases, Brendan. I think Ohio State had something to do with that. I think the effort was terrific to lose by three to the number seven ranked team in the country. And as I was trying to tell somebody earlier in the week, look at the big picture. They played six top 25 ranked teams this year. Memory serves me correct, they're 3-3. They played three top 10 ranked teams, lost by one, lost by three, won by 30. So what's that tell you? Well, a play here, play there, the other way. We're right back to a year ago when they were winning the close games, and that's not happening this year.
One thing I want to ask you is because of the fact that this team's now 7-4, and as you said at the beginning of the show, the Big Ten title and thoughts of the Rose Bowl, those are all out the window. How would you assess the mindset of this team right now going into Saturday's game against Minnesota, who, you know, they're coming off a bye week, and even before that, they got a road victory at Illinois?
First of all, I think the mindset's very good. There's a little bit of adjustment around the Thanksgiving holiday, but I think they're mentally focused. I think that's the least of their worries going into Saturday for more than one reason, but the main reason is because of the head coach, Kirk Ferentz, and his staff. They do a great job of keeping these guys focused and re-preparing them from week to week for a different opponent. So that's not an issue. And if it is an issue, shame on them, the players, because you're playing your longest-standing rivalry, Minnesota, a 100-year rival. You're playing for the Pig, Floyd of Rosedale, the rivalry game, trophy game for the Iowa Hawkeyes. This is the last year. It's at the end of the schedule. The Iowa-Minnesota rivalry, as we know it, is going away. They'll still play, but now it's going to be Iowa-Nebraska at the tail end of the calendar. So I think that's huge. They want to be the last one to win that game because of its rivalry status. You're going into a brand new TCF Bank Stadium. The weather's going to be the way it's supposed to be in late November, cold. The wind's going to be howling. It sounds like the weather will cooperate from a moisture standpoint, but it's what Big Ten football was meant to be back when Bronco Nagurski and Niall Kinnick were playing. So, and it's their senior day. What better way to end the regular season than spoiling somebody else's senior day? There's plenty of motivation motivating factors at work here. Those Iowa seniors, 26 of them, biggest class since Kirk Ferentz has been here, do not want to go out with three consecutive losses. I haven't gone back and looked. I dare say you've got to go back a ways to find, if ever, when this group of seniors lost three games in a row. I don't remember it happened. Maybe it has. But there's plenty of incentive here, and I think you'll see that on Saturday.
You talk about this rivalry that Iowa has with Minnesota. You call it the game, if you will, or the rivalry game because they play for Florida Rosedale. I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I guess there's some of your memories when you think back on this rivalry. I mean, I'm sure the fans running down the field of the Metrodome, tearing down the goalposts will immediately come to mind. But is there anything else that, when you think of Iowa-Minnesota, just truly stands out?
Certainly that 2002 game when they clinched at least a share for the Big Ten championship, undefeated 8-0. Mm-hmm. I don't know that had ever happened before prior to 1920, 1921. So that was huge. The fans celebrating in the dome, trying to, you're right, take the goalpost out the revolving circular door. They may still be there trying to do that, for all I know. But the roses that the players were carrying around that day, thinking they're going to go to the Rose Bowl, end up going to the Orange Bowl. And then 2 years ago, when you fast forward to the last game ever played in the dome, which was kind of unique in and of itself. The last time the Hawks played in the dome, the last Minnesota home game in the dome, Iowa won it big, won it convincingly, got turnovers in that game. Last year is a lasting memory for me because a game that Iowa was heavily favored in, and the Gophers came in here and did all but upset the Hawks. It ended up being 12-0, as you know. Now, Iowa was playing a quarterback who'd only started one game, so Iowa was limited by injuries that day. But I think what Kirk said tonight on his show goes right back to the season ender a year ago, which Iowa was fortunate enough to win, and that is, Minnesota went into Illinois 2 weeks ago and hung 35 on a much improved Illini defense. That, as much as anything, should have the Hawkeyes on edge, razor sharp and ready to go Saturday.
You guys are talking about Adam Weber and just what he kind of brings to the table. How do you feel he compares when you look at him as opposed to some of the other quarterbacks in the Big Ten? Because the feeling I get is he's up there, but because of the fact that he's on a team that struggled throughout his entire career, not just this season, maybe doesn't get the credit that he necessarily deserves.
You look at his size and his style, he's very similar to Ricky Stanzi. That means he's very good. He's got, I don't have the numbers in front of me, I think he's got 20, 21 touchdown passes to 8 or 9 picks this year, maybe less than that. And he's without Decker, Adam Decker, his All-American receiver from a year ago who graduated. So they've brought in, the backup quarterback, Marquise Gray, is one of his go-to guys. And they have big receivers this year, so some of those younger guys are stepping up now. I think it was Pat Fitzgerald who said earlier this week on the Big Ten coaches conference call, in his 5 years as head coach at Northwestern, he cannot remember a year where there have been so many not only good quarterbacks, but quarterbacks who are very similar in size and the way they attack defenses. Kirk Cousins, Ricky Stanzi, Scott Tolzien, Nathan Shielhouse. Purse is a little bit of a hybrid, but the big kid Bolden at Penn State. And Weber. There are so many good quarterbacks who look like the same player every week to week. They just have a different colored uniform on. And I think what Pat is saying is, A, most of them are upper class. Most of them have been around 3, 4, 5 years, which means they're very cerebral. They're very intelligent. They make good decisions, and they usually find the open man.
I'll get you out of here on two questions. First, as far as Saturday's game goes, what do you feel Iowa needs to be able to do in order to avoid that third straight loss?
They need to do just what they've done in this series more often than not in recent memory. They've won 8 of 10. And if you go back and add up the numbers, the turnovers would be decisive. So this Iowa defense, which has played outstanding football most of the season, particularly through three and a half quarters, they need to play from beginning to end, and keep the pressure on Weber. He's got a good offensive line, but this is an offensive line where I think Iowa can really do some damage. They're not real deep in the two deep, and I would hope the Iowa defense, even with that inexperience at linebacker, can create some havoc. I'm guessing Norm Parker's scheming day and night here as he gets feeling better about what to do with Weber. They have a very good running game, not the running game that we're used to seeing out of Minnesota in the past when Glenn Mason was there.
Yeah.
But this is a Minnesota offense that will move the ball. Mm-hmm. The defense just has to be patient and wait for its moment. So that's the first key, get turnovers. Secondly is Marcus Coker. They need to feed the ball to Marcus and get that running game going early and keep it going consistently, because as much as we know Rick Stanzi and DJ Kay and Marvin McNutt and Allen Reiser form a wonderful passing combination, the elements on Saturday will dictate some of what happens in the passing game, and it's probably going to be somewhat limited. Therefore, the Hawks have got to get that running game going early and often, and I think Coker, the big downhill bruising runner that he is, it's going to be a challenge for him because he's not used to playing in weather like this. If the temperatures hold to what I'm hearing they're going to be, you got to get that ground game going in late November outside in the Big Ten. And then special teams just have to play better. I mean, kick coverage has got to improve. Stoudemire is one of the best in college football, and don't think Minnesota isn't aware of Iowa's rather poor coverage on kick returns here this season. So those are my three keys to the game.
And my final question, and I know this is basically looking at pure speculation right now, but if you were to forecast where you envision the Hawkeyes playing this winter, whether it be, you know, the Outback Bowl down in Tampa, be a fourth trip down there in the past decade, going to Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl, or, you know, if it ends up being the Insight Bowl in Tempe, it ends up being that. But, you know, of those three games, those seem to be the most realistic options. Where do you feel this team's going to end up?
Assuming they win Saturday, and I think the Hawks will win Saturday, although it may not have any bearing. Although 5-3 looks a heck of a lot better than 4-4 in the Big Ten, I think it's down to two spots. I think it's the Outback Bowl or the Gator Bowl. I don't think the Insight's in play because the Gator picks ahead of the Insight.com Bowl. The Gator would never let Iowa get out of Jacksonville, given the fan base and the way our fans follow the Hawkeyes, and that's a credit to the state, to the university, to its fan base. So I think you're either talking Tampa or Jacksonville, and that ain't all bad in December.
You can listen to Gary Dolphin call the game along with Ed Podolak on Saturday. Kickoff is scheduled at 2:30 p.m. Central from TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Gary, thank you very much, not just for tonight, but throughout the entire season. We've really enjoyed having you here for this and doing this every week.
I've enjoyed it, Brennan. Thanks for having me on, and happy holidays to all of our wonderful Hawkeye fans.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.